We have a dream.
We have a voice.
This is
The Anchor Nation.
The Anchor Nation.
The Anchor Nation.
The Anchor Nation.
Hi, I am your host, Kevin Touch, and we are
The Anchor Nation.
Hello, Anchor Nation. This is Kevin Touch, the host of Anchor Nation Community Radio, and we're back with another episode of the Anchor Nation Podcast, episode 97, Master Reef. Without further ado, let Master Reef introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Master Reef. I am a YouTuber and content creator on the internet. I create clean analytical content that I work my face off for. In fact, I was currently editing a video before this, and it's still in the editing process. So yeah, it's something I'm really passionate about, and I'm glad to be on the show.
Awesome, man. Now, definitely, we're going to know what's good with you with YouTube and definitely social media. But for the first question, how did you discover Anchor?
Well, I'm pretty sure it was this guy called Jordan Taylor, who is a YouTuber that I watch. I think that was my first introduction of Anchor, if I can remember right.
Yes, he was big on this app.
That's very true.
Yeah, I think with JT, he brought a lot of the crowd over to really enhance the future of the app, because it's definitely still some influence with him in here. But yeah, it's an interesting story how podcasts and this app has developed. So good first start for sure. Next point I would make, your second question is, how did you discover YouTube and just your backstory on the channel?
How I first discovered YouTube, I mean, I wasn't really on the internet back in like 2009 or when YouTube just started becoming popular. Sure, my friends would share these viral videos like Hey Ya, but I mean, it was just kind of that. It was just like a viral site. And then a while ago, probably in like 2013 or 14, my friend Zach started making a YouTube channel, and I was watching his videos. I'm like, this is really cool. So eventually I got inspired by him, and I tried doing that same thing. I tried to make gaming videos, and that's how I started off.
Oh, nice. And what would you say was the content you were doing with the game? Any video games or just kind of spontaneous?
I tried to have a plan. It was gaming. I was trying to post 2 to 3 times a week, which it was crazy for me. And it wasn't that great to begin with, because I look at the videos now and I'm like, these are garbage. There was hardly any editing. I'm not entertaining. I'm just like, whoa, look at this. It's just, but you got to start somewhere.
No, absolutely. You have to start somewhere and figure out the craft before you move further with whatever you're trying to pursue. So I get what you're saying. And that brings me to my next point is, what were some of the things you learned from the beginning to now where you can apply that with editing and just content creation over these past 5-6 years?
Yeah, so I think something that I've learned from starting is to just start. I mean, the first things that you make are going to be garbage. That's just how it works. But that's also how you learn. So once you start, you get better and better. So I feel like just starting really helps.
Yeah, no, starting really helps, because you just have that direction of where you could go and where you could go further planning along the road. And would you say by starting, you really started to figure out the trend a couple of years? Or do you feel like the fact that you started in the beginning stages, of, not just YouTube, but the early stages of social media, it helps you gain a following?
I feel like you can start whenever and have a good following. You just need to figure out, you know, what you want to do with your channel. And that was something else. I was experimenting here and there in the first years. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I started with gaming. I feel like a lot of people start with that. And I eventually gave up on that because I'm like, I'm not enjoying this. So I tried something else. And then my channel became more so like a personality channel of me doing stuff more so than playing a game.
Right. And I think having those personality type shows where it speaks to you and doing something passionate where you're not just getting bored half the time will speak volumes coming up for sure. And I just talked about a perfect segue into social media. Question four, how do you market some of your videos, whether it be on Instagram, whether it be on Twitter? What are some marketing things you do to not only boost viewers, but make sure your subscribers know what's going on?
Well, I mean, my subscribers get the notification, hopefully, from YouTube, if YouTube actually likes my channel on that day. But with other sites, I do various things. Most of the time, I promote my videos in YouTube groups on Facebook. But I see all these people just, like, dropping a link and leaving. What I do is, sure, I share the link, but then I also, like, upload a clip of the video with that. Right. And then I have, like, a tagline at the top, and then the actual title. and then the link to the video, and then like what my channel is about, all in one post. And I post that in like every YouTube group that I'm a part of. And I know that has gotten me some traction for sure, especially because not a lot of people were uploading clips with their links. They were just uploading links, and then it would cut off the thumbnail in a weird way. And I hated that. So I'm like, no, I'm going to do something different. And it really shows like my videos, obviously. So it shows like how good they are compared to like everybody else. So that's what I do with Facebook, and that's worked pretty well. And then with like Instagram, I also like to upload a clip of the video, and then I also share it to like my story. And I also do that on Snapchat too.
No, I think the power of social media, that really helps with the traction, because if you look when you look at social media, it's set up, it's where as long as you post something, you get 60, 70, even 80 views on like a story or even 40 likes, chances are they're intrigued. So definitely putting, like you said, foreshadowing some of the events with those thumbnails. And what would you say on a scale of 1 to 10 is the importance of a thumbnail and just the modern day art of creation? What would you say would be the rating for a 1 to 10 scale?
Wait, what do you mean? A 1 to 10 scale on the creation of thumbnails
Like thumbnails. Like how important is the thumbnail to get people's attention in the YouTube space for people who don't know?
In my opinion, if your thumbnail looks garbage, then your video is also probably garbage, which is why I take a lot of time on my thumbnails, because I want them to be good. Because it's like, if I see a thumbnail on YouTube and it looks low effort, it's like, well, the video is probably low effort, so I don't want to watch that, you know? Right. It's probably just a personal thing, but if you're putting effort into your thumbnails as well, I feel like that's saying something. Like, you actually do care about what you're making.
Right, and there's another side, too, with the fans. I mean, the fans will look at that and say, if you're not really putting the work, they won't really look at it. But if you see you put in the work, and you're putting dedication and time and effort in, they'll most likely give you the hit the subscribe button or whatnot. So it's important
It's the thing of, like, if you're not caring about what you create, why should other people care?
Mm-hmm. And then I think that's it. It's like, to get people's attention, you got to make sure you have the attention in the beginning by putting all your effort. Now, going back to some of the podcast and editing things, what do you do for the podcast? What are some things you talk about in your podcast? And then we'll talk about do you edit some of your videos later? But we'll start with the podcast first.
My question is, which podcast?
We'll start with this one, the Master Eth podcast.
Oh, Master Eth. It's basically just like life updates and like what's going on in my life. That's what I like to do on Anchor. And then like I use Audacity to edit that. Okay. And then I record it on like my microphone and then upload it from my computer because it's better quality. Right. And one reason I've switched from like the phone to the PC when it comes to Anchor is because now my Master Eth podcast is on Spotify. Uh-huh. So as soon as it got on Spotify, I'm like, okay, I need to up the quality right now. And so I did. It's a little bit more of a hassle though to record on Anchor, which is why they're kind of spontaneous right now, because I've been really busy with projects. But that's what I do with the Anchor podcast.
Gotcha. So definitely it's a little process there where you get to the Audacity, make sure you clean it up and get it out to your...
Yeah, exactly.
And Spotify, too, is a big partner, so it's important. And then
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's on Spotify. Whether it be music, podcasts, or just regular segments, they come in there and tune in. And now for the video side, what are some tools and software you use to make the videos go around?
I mean, for the videos, the main thing that I use is HitFilm 4 Express, which is free, and I've used for like 2 or 3 years, and it's amazing. Like, if you know what you're doing, you can do some pretty complex stuff, which is why I don't think I need a new editing software for a long time, which is good because they're also really pricey. So it was nice to find something that's free that works perfectly for me and where I can do more than just simple cuts, basically. And then I also use Audacity to clean up my microphone audio and then sync up the audio with the video.
And most of those run smoothly, correct? Like, we haven't really had...
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good. No, I'll definitely put those in the show links. And then for the next question I was going to have is, how has your family supported you through the journey? What's been your family support and your friend support been like?
They're really supportive, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes I talk about YouTube probably a little too much, and I've realized that recently. But it's my passion, like, and they know this too, but they're very supportive. Like, they don't dislike that I'm doing this or anything.
Right.
Like, yeah, they're very supportive of this.
No, that's good. I think the fact that you had that family support, you don't have to worry about some hater or some people just give you doubt. You got the unconditional love and the everlasting love. It gives you motivation to keep going. And would you say over the, like, now, especially since you started to get more into the pro, would you say they're even more supportive now than the beginning because you're starting to develop traction? Or is it about the same?
I would say there's more support now only because there's more people watching.
Right.
That's what I would say.
No, and that's true. Because the more you get traction, the more people start to see these aren't actually fake results, the real results, and they'll start really going all in on you. And for question eight, I know you've been, you know, other than Jordan Taylor, I know you went to – you actually want to talk before I get to the – you want to talk a little bit about the Jordan Taylor thing you did a couple weeks back, just visiting him and all?
Visiting – you mean going to Blind Macau?
Yeah, Blind Macau, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was a fun experience. Basically, Blind Macau held a convention in Nashville, Tennessee, and I got to meet the Taylors themselves, which are the people who run the Blind Macau channel, and they're really nice. It was really cool. I got both of the people in my vlogs. It was just really cool to be there and meet them in person.
No, for sure. It's always good. And then that was my next question is, other than Jordan, who would be another YouTuber or any video creator you would want to collaborate with one day?
Oh, boy. See, like... there's too many. It seems like all of my inspirations are YouTubers. It's because that's what I do, like, all the time.
Right.
So it's tough to pick one, but there's this one guy that I really do like that I think would be awesome to collaborate with, especially since I figured out, like, what I'm doing with my channel now. And that would be this guy called Nakey Jakey, where he analyzes certain aspects of video games. So, for example, he made a video about moms and dads in video games, which was pretty interesting to watch. And it's just it's really cool. And he also made one about clothes in video games.
Oh, interesting.
He does a very good job of analyzing things without it being boring. He balances comedy and analysis really, really well. And I really like to watch those for sure.
Yeah, and you get to understand the process of what they're actually doing and what what different techniques or software or whatever the case may be to make and create and edit those videos. So it's always important just to have those role models for sure.
That's true, yeah.
And for question nine, what is one, other than start, I guess, what is one other piece of information you would give to just any YouTube content or video creator out there to make sure to strive for their dreams?
I would say, like, I was asked this on a different interview, and I think I'm going to give the same answer. It was figure out the why. I feel like you should figure out why you're creating content instead of just making content. If you're having fun with it, then that's great. But if you want to do something more, you need to figure out the why behind it to actually give it meaning instead of just like, oh, I like making videos. You know, it gives it more of an impact.
No, absolutely. I think the problem is you can always experiment and just test around with it. But if you don't have any meaning or reasoning behind it, like what's your why and how you're going to execute that why for the next 5, 6, whatever days. If you can't execute within the first month of your why, you're really just wasting time, in my opinion. So it's important just to find that for sure.
Exactly. And that takes time too. It's not easy.
Oh yeah.
Like it took me 2 years to like really figure out what I'm doing, you know?
And would you say, even though you were just a quick follow, would you say, other than the fact that you were finding your why, were those times harder to manage because of the fact that you were kind of lost, or were they more just easier because you know it's going to happen one day and you have to stay positive? So were you more the positive side, or were you just still kind of lost and stressed out a little bit?
Are you saying like back then?
No,
those
2 years when you were trying to figure it out.
Well, I didn't really think much about it. It was more of like a hobby. Mm-hmm. That's how it started out. So I wasn't thinking about it like too much. It was just like, oh, hey, let's make a video. I'm bored kind of thing.
Right.
But like as time progressed, it's become more of a serious thing for me. Like I'm intentionally making weekly videos, and that takes a lot of effort, but it's because it's something that I love to do. And so like it's a really great experience.
Right. And I think that's what it was, is if you were just young, trying to figure it out, experimenting. And then once you got to the serious side, you realized about marketing and figuring out. And my other question is, how long is it the whole production of video creation, shooting the film, editing? What's the whole amount of workload, as in hours, days, or weeks, to make a full-time video?
See, back then, it took like 2 to 3 hours. Nowadays, it takes me days to edit one video.
Wow.
It's just like, because of how how complicated my editing gets, because I like to do cuts, it seems like every 6 seconds, and that takes a long time.
Right.
And so it's just like, the longer I've done YouTube, the longer it takes to make videos, where it's got to the point where I was like editing a video the night before it went up. So it's just like, it's a process now, but I think that's good that I've gotten to the point where it takes me so long, because now I'm actually like really proud of the content that I make nowadays. So that really helps quite a lot.
No, I hear you. What's the longest duration of editing and all that you've ever done?
I would say editing wise, gosh, I was editing, I can say the exact video. It was my Cheapskate Chronicles video. I was literally editing that for a week straight.
Holy moly.
Just with the editing. That doesn't include writing. That doesn't include coming up with the idea. That doesn't include recording. That doesn't even include the thumbnail creation or the distribution. It was probably one of my biggest projects, just because of the visual edits. And because there were so many visual edits, it slowed down to my computer, which is kind of why it took so long.
Wow.
But yeah.
Well, that's the thing, I think, is you look at this where at least you can know that it's done, but you take that 1 week and you're just like, wow, like it takes an actual week to edit. And you haven't even done the rest of the stuff. So I'm sure it probably took, I'm assuming, around 2-3 weeks to get that thing fully up and loaded. Which
in total, yeah. But the reason I was able to do that was because I was working ahead.
Because
I have a video like content creation calendar. So when I'm ahead, like it really does help with the bigger projects, kind of like what I'm working on now.
So
that always helps.
Are you a guy who goes out of the creator content schedule? Are you a guy who kind of goes more pre-recorded stuff and try to space it out? Or do you try to get it all in one as far as the actual recording when you know you have specific days? Are you more organized or you kind of more go as you go off the cuff?
I would say that nowadays I'm a lot more organized. I try to take videos like one at a time. Sometimes I'll write multiple scripts. Actually, I remember when I was at BlimeyCon and I had some downtime, I ended up finishing 3 different scripts, which were like 2 to 3 pages each. So that, I know that really helped my productivity. So it depends. I usually like to take, like I said, videos like one at a time, because one video in and of itself takes a long time to produce.
I hear you. No, and definitely planning ahead, writing those scripts. Are the scripts the hardest part for you, or is it just more?
No, the scripts aren't the hardest part, because I actually like to write.
Okay.
If it's something that I like to write about, I like writing. I never liked writing in school because it was always about old people and just things that happen that I don't care about. But with this, like, right. I'm actually writing stuff that I'm passionate about. And so I find a lot of enjoyment out of it. So the least favorite part, I would say probably the recording, because it's like, I can write scripts, I can edit, but I need to record, otherwise I can't edit. And so it seems like recording has always been this thing that has always gotten in my way. And after time, I've learned to enjoy it. But out of the entire process, that's probably my least favorite part.
Yeah, it's always the middle part. You get the script there, and then you actually got to record, get up, and actually.
And then it's the execution of doing it, which can be very difficult, especially when you want to like convey certain words certain ways.
You got camera angles, you got to figure out all. It definitely takes a lot of work. I mean, I think the one thing with any type of just recording and shooting is patience. I think that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's the number one thing. I mean, most of these times, I'm assuming it just doesn't take 1-2 tries. It takes like 5-10 tries, I think, to get a perfect shot.
With recording lines specifically, sometimes I go over a line probably 30 times because I keep messing up. That's not even an exaggeration. That's why I write scripts, and that's why I edit my videos.
Oh, you have to.
It would be a bumbling mess if I didn't, yeah.
No, you have to. I think, because if you don't, you just kind of have that mumbo jumbo. It just really shows, like, where's the actual grind dedication. I think that's what it really is. At the end of the day, you have to grind out these results. You got to understand patience. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, you have to understand the process of it, in the sense that this is a long, drawn-out process, and Once you get it up on YouTube, it's like a success, because you know you got the best quality as you can, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's always, once the video is published, though, it's always great to get that feedback after so long when you're editing it. Like, most of the time, I publish it, and I'm like, I can't wait for what people are going to say about this, you know, because that kind of completes the cycle, where it's like, it's done.
Yeah, that's it. I think that's it. Once you get that done process, you're done. You move on. And I'm sure you got another project to work on. Take a break.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, always working on projects, yeah.
That's it. Art of the side hustle. Got to appreciate that. If question 10, what are your goals in the next 5 years, whether it be personal, work, YouTube, or just anything you want to share with the Anchor Nation?
I have a plan. And I figured out what I want to do in life. I think video creation is definitely something that I'm going to continue to do in the years in the future. And so my plan is to get a full-time job and then work on YouTube. And I want to do that because that way I'll have a constant flow of income and then I can come home and create. Because creation is the one thing that brings me so much joy in life and it doesn't compare to anything else. So obviously I can't just quit this. You know, this is like my passion. And so that's my plan in the future years.
That's a good plan to have because you're still doing something passionate and you're still making something off the side. It could still make something off the side, but you still have a structure there and stability. That's the most important.
Yeah, it's like, I could create all day, every day, but the problem is there's no constant flow of income. So obviously I need to get a job to balance that out. So.
No, I hear you. I think at least for now, in a young position where you can still experiment. You got plenty of years, and then when you come to that realization that you got to get one, and then you got to still have that side hustle involved, that's fine because you could still double because you don't know what happens with I know YouTube changed up their plans with monetization, but you just don't know who's out there as far as other platforms to stream your services to pay. So it's open to keep a mindset too, for sure.
Yeah.
And our last question here is, what is one thing you like to tell the Anchor Nation that they may not know about you, and it could be a fun fact.
Fun fact, my favorite movie is Sahara. It's starred by Matthew McConaughey, Penelope Cruz, and Steve Zahn. I made a video about it like a year ago on my friend's channel. It's a really great movie. Highly recommend it.
All right, there we go, Sahara. If you want to go to the movies with Ethan, definitely go with Sahara. But thank you, man. I appreciate your time and your dedication to the show. No problem. And you want to just DM your social media so people can find you on the internet?
Yeah. So my main place is YouTube. So that's youtube.com/MasterEth. My Twitter is @Master_ETH. And then my Instagram is just MasterEth, which is all lowercase.
There we go. And you guys can always find the Master ETH podcast on Anchor. And thank you to the Anchor Nation for giving your undivided attention, not only me, but the interviewee. And ETH, my man, appreciate it.
No problem.
Hi, Anchor Nation. This is Kevin Touch of Anchor Nation Community Radio, and I'd like to say thank you for listening to the Anchor Nation podcast. If you'd like to book an interview or DM me on Instagram, follow me at the Anchor Nation. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, it is also under the Anchor Nation. Thank you for listening, and enjoy.